Hare Krishna. What can one say after such a lecture? When Shruti Dharma Prabhu told me in the morning that we have to speak on this topic, he asked me, should Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj speak first or you will speak first? So I said, my opinion is Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj should speak first and then he should speak second. But anyway, somehow or other I am placed in front of this microphone, and of all topics I am asked to speak on the topic of humility. So well, life is full of contradictions, what to do? This is one of them. We have to accept it as our lot. Of course it's a difficult topic because it's quite strange in this world to find humility or to even talk about humility. It's such an alien concept. I was asked specifically to speak about this Trinadapi Sunichena verse, which of course we are all aware of. For devotees, humility is something that is so natural, something we talk about all the time. But in the outside world, it's just the opposite. And that is what we hear. In the material world, everything is the opposite of what it is in the spiritual world. Urdhva moolam adhar shakham ashvattham prahur avyayam. It's like an inverted banyan tree with its roots upwards and the branches downward, meaning that this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So whatever you find in the spiritual world, we find here in this material world in perverted or distorted fashion, in inverted fashion. So the quality of humility is sublime in the spiritual world. So that is reflected here invertedly as pride. Pride is something that comes naturally to the conditioned living entity. Humility comes naturally to the pure living entity. In the spiritual world there is love. It is pervertedly reflected as lust. So in this world, lust is natural for the conditioned living entity. For the pure living entity, love is natural. Compassion is natural to the pure living entity. But when it is pervertedly reflected in this material world, it becomes anger. Like this, all the pure qualities of the spiritual world are pervertedly reflected here. So when we say that the ills of this world, the evils of this world, we justify them by saying it's natural. Yes, but natural for whom? Natural for what? It is natural for an unnatural state. Because we are in an unnatural state. So when we come back to the natural state, then the true nature of the soul emerges. So in our unnatural state, we find that which is natural to be unnatural. So humility seems such an unnatural idea, such an outrageous idea. Yes, it is outrageous. One time one of our devotees became a brahmachari and joined the temple. And then he became acquainted with the language of devotees. When devotees write letters, they start off by saying, please accept my humble obeisances. And they end the letter by saying, your servant so and so. And one time he sent a letter to his father, and his father was outraged. Did I put you through university and spend so much money for you just so that you can become a servant? I didn't do all this so you become a servant. I wanted you to become a big person in this world. The Lord and Master, that's what every parent wants, at least most parents want. That their child should become a big person in this world. How many parents in this world want their child to become a humble person, a gentle person, a genuinely godly person? Very few. So therefore the names that we get are all ending in Das. As Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj was explaining this morning in his Bhagavatam class, the purport of the word Das is not just servant but slave. So to become a slave, what kind of an objective of life is that? It's something that is very demeaning. Now everybody wants to become number one in something. But if you want to be the last in something, then that's something very strange. But the philosophy of bhakti tells us that we have to be humble. If you want to attain real happiness, real love of God, you have to be humble. And humility is based on knowledge. And knowledge is based on faith. So continuing from where Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj left off, where he analyzed the subject of faith so nicely, even knowledge is based upon faith. The different kinds of knowledge. We have knowledge that we obtain with our senses, knowledge we obtain through gossip, knowledge we obtain through our science and scientific methods, knowledge we obtain through the scriptures. So there is knowledge of different kinds. Which kind of knowledge do we have faith in? Which kind of knowledge do we accept to make advancement or attain happiness in our life? So the scriptures give us transcendental knowledge. And therefore the faith in the scriptures is transcendental faith. And therefore we understand that faith in this knowledge will make us humble. Because we accept that. Yes, the scriptures say that I am the soul, I am not this body. Even to actually understand it from a material point of view, it's not very difficult. Humility is something you can understand even by ordinary logic. Srila Prabhupada one time famously told his devotees, he said, look, imagine the vastness of this whole material world. How many millions of universes there are, countless universes. And in all these universes, there are so many planets, countless planets. And this universe is just one among so many universes. And amongst all these different planets in this one universe, there is this one Earth planet. And on this one Earth planet, there are so many countries. In this one country, there are so many cities. In this one city, there are so many blocks. In each block, so many buildings. In this building, so many souls, so many individuals. And in this building, so many rooms. And in this one room, there are so many people. And in this one room, there's one person who thinks he's very great. That goes for all of us. So even if you analyze it logically, leave aside the scriptures for the time being. Leave aside God for the time being. Even by ordinary logic, we can understand that our position is completely insignificant. One time one devotee came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm really very fallen. You know, this is something that only a genuinely humble person can say from his heart. It's not easy to admit that I'm fallen. We say it casually in our everyday talk, but it's a very deep thing. So if someone says I'm really fallen, then it has to come from a genuine feeling of belief in that statement. So he said, Prabhupada could understand that he's making it as a formality, this statement. Well, he's saying it because a devotee is supposed to say that, which is also nice. But then Prabhupada wanted to just make a point. You are not the most anything. You are simply insignificant. So to think that I am the most fallen, no, we are not the most anything. We are simply insignificant. What are we when you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on a boat and there's a fierce storm there? What don't you realize what is your position? What is there to be proud about when you are in the middle of the ocean? Or you're in a flight and the aeroplane starts really going topsy-turvy and you can know the air hostesses are getting scared and the pilot is sending out frantic messages on the voice and the voice system, then you understand, yes, there's nothing really to be proud about. Proud of your own intelligence, your money, your power, and whatever else. What is the value of this intelligence, beauty, money, and so on? So humility is something that you have forced to accept, even if you accept logic, even if you don't accept God, which is, of course, illogical. That's another matter. Yesterday, I was at another satsang program, and Sakshi Gopal Prabhu made a very good point. He said there's two words, humility and humiliation. If you don't have humility, you'll be humiliated anyway, and you'll be forced to become humble. Such is the way of material nature. Material nature is like a big grinding wheel. You don't have grinding wheels here. In India, in the old days, and even now in the villages, you'll have the ladies having grinding wheels where they crush the spices and they do various other jobs. They grind it. So the laws of God, it is said also, as you know, are like the grinding mill. They grind slow, but they grind exceedingly fine. So in the grinding mill of this world, everybody is crushed. Nobody is spared. From the smallest person to the biggest person, no one is spared. King or pauper, everyone has to go through the grinding mill. And then what remains? What is death? Isn't death the ultimate humiliation? Isn't old age and humiliation? There are so many things we get in life that we don't want. Is it not humiliation? We are constantly being humiliated in this world. Imagine Hiranyakashipu, such a powerful man, the most powerful person in the universe next to Brahma, and he couldn't control his 5-year-old son. Can you imagine? What kind of humiliation was heaped upon this man who was so powerful that simply by raising his eyebrows, the demigods would tremble? And here is a 5-year-old son of this powerful demon who doesn't want to listen to the father. And the father tries to kill him in so many different ways, and he doesn't die. Not only that he doesn't die, he remains fearless. So what happens to Hiranyakashipu's anger and his ego? Incidentally, this is one of the facts of life, that this is why God creates children, to crush the egos of the parents. So the parents know they may be a big person in the society, but in front of your child, what can you do if he doesn't want to listen to you? Maybe a small child, and when they grow up, of course they will never listen to you. That's another matter. But even when they are small, they don't listen to you. So we are being constantly humiliated in this world. So then, if we are not voluntarily humble, we will be forced to be humble. So it's a fact of life. It's not something strange. The miracle is that despite all these humiliating experiences, and despite the inevitability and unavoidability of being humiliated and crushed completely in this world, we still oppose humility. We still stubbornly refuse to be humble. So deep is the illusion of this world that it makes us feel that it is right to be proud, that it is good to be proud, it is demeaning to be humble, it is false to be humble. So we are living in a world of illusion, in an unnatural world, perpetuating illusions and false beliefs in the name of being advanced. And what to speak of gross materialists? Even those who are impersonalists or Mayavadis, they also believe that we are very great. One time many years ago, as a new devotee, I remember, I had gone to distribute books. This was in Calcutta city. And there was a poster outside one auditorium, and there was a very big Mayavadi sannyasi, and it was his speech that was going on inside the auditorium. And the title of the speech was, "You Are the Whole," W-H-O-L-E. And then I walked in to the auditorium. It was a very elite kind of an audience, air-conditioned auditorium and everything. And I walked in there, and I was really like a black sheep there, odd man out. And then he noticed me coming in. There was books and everything, looking very strange. And then he immediately understood where I came from. So then he got onto the flow of the subject. He said, "There are some people who believe that we should be small, we should be humble, but actually we are the whole." And when you realize, when you actually get knowledge, then you understand that you are everything. So don't try to be a servant. Don't try to be something small. Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Paladev Subhadra Mai ki. Oh, sorry. Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. I just came from a Jagannath temple, you see. So he was saying, all this humility and humbleness is not something that we need. So whether one is materialistic or whether one is spiritual, you will find this argument. Spiritual, I mean people who are the Mayavadis, the impersonalists. But from the devotional point of view, we find this is something so natural. It's a natural phenomenon. We want to be humble because it is our nature to be humble. The very fundamental thing we learn, the first thing we learn when we hear Bhagavad Gita is that I am not this body. I am the spirit soul. Keshagra Shatabhagasya. So I am not only the spirit soul, but the spirit soul is 1/10,000th of the tip of a hair. Now that's something. Many times, you know, when people get into arguments or fights, you must have seen this many times. They confront each other, and then one person asks the other person, "Who do you think you are?" Yeah, you heard this? When they get angry and they're, you know, shouting at each other, and then, "Who do you think you are anyway?" Yes, they say that. It's a very good question. Actually, it's a deeper question than the person understands. He's saying it in a sense of outrage, but even he doesn't understand what a deep statement he's making. Who do you think you are indeed? Who are you? Who am I? You are only 1/10,000th of the tip of a hair. That's what you are. Now, if that's not a humbling thought, then what is? I may think, well, I'm a multi-billionaire, or I am a famous footballer, or I am whatever big person of this world, but at the end of the day, I am just 1/10,000th of the tip of a hair. So if I have faith in this knowledge that I am the eternal spirit soul, 1/10,000th of the tip of a hair, then that faith will automatically bring humility. So the acharyas have explained humility as faith in the greatness of Krishna and in the insignificance of oneself. You see, if one simply understands that one is small and insignificant, one will just add to the numbers of the depressed in this world. You know, simply to know that I'm insignificant is not sufficient. You have to know who is significant then. Is there anything or anyone who is significant? Yes, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is significant. The most significant living being in all of existence. I am insignificant, but I am an eternal part and parcel of that most significant person, Krishna. So I have faith in Krishna, but I do not have faith in myself, in my ability, my intelligence, my capabilities, and so on. So, humility means faith in Krishna, faith in the process of devotional service to Krishna, but lack of faith, a conviction in one's, in the inabilities and lack of intelligence of oneself. If it was only one without the other, then the humility will lead to depression and many other problems. But because we have faith in Krishna, faith in Krishna's protection, therefore even though a devotee is personally very humble, but he can still be very enthusiastic, very energetic, and where necessary he can be very aggressive. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, we see Arjuna's relationship or compassion upon his relatives was causing him to become falsely humble and so depressed. Actually, he was in depression. Arjuna's initial section of the Bhagavad Gita saw Arjuna in depression. But then Krishna enlivened him. He enlivened him to a stage where he fought. And how fiercely he fought. When you're fighting a battle, then you have to be fierce. You know, you can't say Hari Bol and then fight a, you know, throw an arrow, right? You have to be really aggressive. You have to be very, very energetic, angry. Externally, it doesn't appear like a picture of humility. If you see the pictures of Arjuna on the battlefield, he's fiercely fighting. But actually, Krishna transported him from a platform of false humility to the platform of real humility. Real humility means that we are surrendering our everything to Krishna. We are surrendering our intelligence, our independence, our desires, our decisions, everything to Krishna. And we do what Krishna says. This is humility. Today, even if you ask a small child, do something, he says, why should I? So it is so ingrained in us that I want to do what I want to do. Why should I listen to anyone else? And because we have removed God from the picture, as Maharaj was so nicely explaining earlier, we are now in a crisis of faithlessness. And this faithlessness manifests in lack of faith in authority. Erosion of authority. So now we don't want to accept any authority. So when we don't have faith in God, then you don't have gradually faith in anybody in this world. You don't want to accept anybody's instructions or anybody's views. And you simply want to do what you want to do. But that obviously is not a good formula for happiness or success. Because we are, after all, 1/10,000th of the tip of a hair. So even though externally Arjuna was not appearing like a picture of humility, but he was actually humble. Because he surrendered his independent desires to accept the desire of Krishna. Now whatever you say, O Krishna, I will do. So this is our understanding of humility. To understand that I am small, and simultaneously understand that God is great. Srila Prabhupada used to say that there are many people in this world who believe that God is great. But exactly how great is God? That they do not know. So fortunately we have the Bhagavad Gita, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada has opened up to us. A whole new universe revealing to us how great God is. And the greatness is not simply in terms of physical strength or in terms of power and so on. But his greatness extends over all aspects. Even the sweetness of his nature, of his character, his mercy, his beauty, his affectionate dealings with his devotees, all these make Krishna very great. So when we have faith that I am insignificant and God is great and it's supremely wonderful in all these different ways, then that faith brings us real humility. So knowledge, faith, humility, devotion are all intertwined together in this process of devotional service. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this very wonderful verse. Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sada harihi. One should be humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. One should not desire any respect for oneself, and one should be ever willing to give respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can constantly chant the names of Lord Krishna. Now this verse is so important for us as devotees that arguably it is the most important verse for us in our Krishna consciousness. It will not be an exaggeration to say that it is the most important verse in all of existence. In all the Puranas, Upanishads, Vedas, everything. This is the condensed essence of all knowledge. This one verse, Trinadapi Sunichena. Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this verse is so important for us that we should string this verse on the string of the holy name and wear it around our neck for continuous remembrance so that we can constantly remember what we are, what we should be, and how we should chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. But of course, it's easier said than done, because so steeped are we for millions of lifetimes in pride, in arrogance, in illusion, that it is very hard to be humble. And even when we hear that we are supposed to be humble, and the first traces of humility start dawning into our life, we become proud of that humility. There was one Bengali poet many years ago. So he had heard so many things about Vaishnavas. So he said, you know, I would like to be a Vaishnava. Let us see what it's all about. We've heard so many things about being a devotee and so on. So then he came to the Association of Devotees and he practiced Krishna consciousness for some time. He heard the philosophy from the sadhus and so on. And then finally, after a few days of a certain period of time, then he composed a verse. I'll tell you the Bengali verse and I'll tell you the translation also. Vaishnav hoite bada mone chilo shad, trinadapi shlok shune pore gelo bad. The meaning of this verse is, for a long time, I had a desire to be a Vaishnava. Then I came to the Association of Devotees. Then I heard this Trinadapi Sunichena Shloka and I said, forget it. Just imagine, you have to be humbler than a blade of grass, and if that were not bad enough, you have to be more tolerant than a tree. And what's more intolerable is that you shouldn't expect any respect for yourself. And what's really the limit of everything is that you have to give respect to others. Now come on, isn't this too much? So for the materialistic mind, it seems to be asking for too much. But the point is, do we have a choice? We don't. In any case, as I mentioned earlier, either we become humble on our own or we become humiliated. So might as well. Discretion is the better part of valor. So might as well become humble, because that's the most intelligent and normal thing to do. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after the pastime of delivering Shuklambar Brahmachari, who was his first companion after he came back from his initiation by Ishwarapuri in Gaya, he came to Navadvip, he blessed Shuklambar, and then he spoke at length upon this famous verse, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Iva Kevalam, kalau nasteva 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 gatir anyatha. We've all heard this verse. The meaning of this verse is that in this age of Kali, Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way except money, I beg your pardon, the name of Hari, the name of Hari, the name of Hari. You know, old habits die hard. We can be sure. And then Mahaprabhu explains. He said the word eva, which means certainly, is mentioned three times or repeated three times. And then the word Harinam is also said three times for the sake of emphasis. When we want to emphasize something, we say it three times. So we emphasize that it is only the holy name of the Lord that in this age is a source of deliverance or the cause of deliverance. Nothing else. Nothing else. The word kevalam indicates that no other process of realization or no practice in this age can bring us to the point of perfection. Not yoga, not karma, not jnana, not anything else. It's only the process of bhakti which is centered around chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And because this is the only method for attaining self-realization, God-realization in this age, it is so important that we should do it right. In order to chant the holy names of the Lord constantly, then you need these four things. If these four qualities are not there, then we will not be able to chant the holy names of the Lord, which means that we will not be able to attain the perfection of life. So humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and willingness to give respect to others are the four qualities that naturally arise in the heart of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada explains that a devotee doesn't actually have to strive separately for it. If one is performing devotional service very sincerely, if the fire of devotional service, so to speak, is blazing strong enough, then automatically, naturally, these qualities will emerge. Yes, but we may also have to make an endeavor when we are dealing with other people, maybe in our family or others, and we behave somewhat arrogantly sometimes, and someone points out our mistake, then we can't say, well, Srila Prabhupada said, you know, one doesn't need to make an endeavor, it will come automatically. So the day I become humble, Lord, naturally I will be humble. But no, we have to make an attempt. At least we start from the external. Sometimes it's hard to tolerate the things that people tell us, especially when it's the truth. But we have to accept it. We practice, and Krishna will give us plenty of opportunities to practice humility and tolerance every day. It's a good practice, good practice field. So when we practice chanting of Hare Krishna, we practice cultivating these four sublime qualities, we will find ourselves making advancement in our spiritual life. And this is actually the essence, the sum and substance of our spiritual life, of our very existence. In the association of devotees, these things become easy. Outside, in the outside world, the exact opposite is encouraged. So we have such a wonderful opportunity. We are blessed that we have got an association of devotees like this. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, a whole new universe has opened up to us. The spiritual world has opened up to us. And all we need to do is to follow this one verse. Trinad api sunichena taror iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.